welcome and welcome everyone to another episode of State of Address. I'm your host, Glenn, also the station manager of this wonderful, delightful, and overachieving community radio station, CICK, 93.9, Smithers Community Radio. All right, what we got for the months of February and March is a lot. We've been kind of busy getting ready for the summer, which is probably our busiest season. So right now it's getting all our ducks all in a row and getting those grants, those final grant proposals in, all that great stuff, including, just getting ready for a busy summer. So let's get into it. Some of the things that's happened over February, the months of February and March 2026. We just wrapped up our spring concert. It's been a little while since we've had music. We've been able to showcase music for you. And we were very excited to bring together two amazing bands out of Vancouver, the Pack AD and Space Queen. Oh my gosh, what a lineup. April 10th, we had them all together. We brought them into the Legion, and we filled Legion to capacity. It was quite the night. I hope you were able to attend it. I'm looking forward to more events just like that. And we do have, plans for more music through the summer. It's going to be a bit of a little bit of a break. We're gonna have more stuff. I'll tell you more about that in the upcoming announcements. All right, other things that we've done, we've submitted our gaming grant. We're excited about that. The gaming grant helps us fund the lounge car sessions that we are very excited and proud to present local and touring musicians in our beautiful train car. Now, let's get into stuff coming up in the future, shall we? We've got a special request from all you listeners to support us as a community radio station. Right now, there is a push to have the federal government fund community radio across Canada in a way that's never been done before. Similar to CBC, CBC gets a chunk of money every year to keep their programming happening. We don't get that at CICK. And we would like to see a small amount of money go to each and every community radio station across Canada. And that would allow us to stop having to do, or at least reduce the pressures of having to do regular, annual, and sometimes multiple times through the year, grant writing and fundraising, as we are required to do. I mean, it's a necessity. And I don't think this funding would change that in a drastic way, but it would take some of the necessity down, and it would allow us to focus more on you and the programming and our volunteers. And that is a very, very important part, a very, very important opportunity for us to try to achieve. So with that said, what we want you to do is go to MyCRI. CRI stands for Community Radio Initiative, mycri.ca, and look at this proposal and send in, there's a link there that helps generate an email that you can send to your MP to tell them just how important community radio is to you. And hopefully the government will listen and make that happen in the next budget. Let's talk about new radio shows. A new show, a new program that we're very excited to feature is called Tempest in a Stockpot. And it is a food system radio show, food system podcast, 12 episodes produced by Brenda Barrett and Christine Bruce. And it's just a really great look at the region's food systems, looking at ways of celebrating what we're doing, looking at some of the barriers in front of us and opportunities. So it's really a kind of a fun look at the community food system in a way that we haven't really done before. So a great radio show. Check it out Wednesdays at 2 p.m. You can also check it out on our website, smithersradio.com. Look for Tempest in a Stockpot. And it's also available on our podcast as well, so you can find it over on the YouTubes and the Spotify's and all those great places where you catch your podcasts. Look for Tempest in a Stockpot. You should also know that I have an interview with Christine and Brenda in just a little bit. So hold on to your hats. We'll be able to talk to them and ask them very specifically, what is this show all about? All right, other things that are coming up, we've got our fundraiser. Yes, that's right, our membership drive. Membership drive is so important. It gives you an opportunity to become a member of the station, which allows you to vote for for your board members. Our board members actually are getting together really soon here to talk about what they want to do for the next 5 years, a five-year plan. And so that's kind of exciting. But those board members are voted in by you, by members, and also membership also gives you benefits like discounts at shows. For example, you would have gotten a significant discount to the PAC-AD show at the Legion just a little while ago. These are ways for you to attend our events in a way that's more affordable and also to support what we do right here at the station. Buying your membership tells us we're doing good and you support us, and that means a lot. So that's coming up on the week of June 15th. We'll be doing some exciting things with some of our sponsors. There's going to be some beer that's going to be launched at Smithers Brewing Company. There's going to be a bunch of fun things, and I believe we might even do some live music. So mark that on your calendars, the week of June 15th. Okay, every summer we bring in a summer intern. We introduce a new person into the community radio station to help us out with all the busy things that we do through the summer, and that could be you. If you're under the age of 30 and you would like to learn how radio stations work, you want to work with artists, you want to be able to learn how to use a mixing board and set up audio equipment and maybe do some audio editing, radio podcasting, all those fun things are available for you. And we have a great opportunity over this summer, 8 weeks, a full-time job at $20 an hour. If you're interested, shoot us an email at info@smithersradio.com. That's info@smithersradio.com. All right, let's get into our interview with the hosts and producers of Tempest in the Stockpot, Christine Bruce and Brenda Barrett. As promised, I have with me Christine Bruce and Brenda Barrett, hosts of Tempest in a Pot. Is that what it is? Tempest in a Stew Pot. Tempest in a Stockpot. I was close. yes, Tempest in a Stockpot. So start off briefly, I know you both have worked together in different kind of aspects to make this show come to life. Can you tell me about the show and then how you both kind of are in a part of the whole process? Let's start with Brenda.
Sure. We came together for this podcast through the Ideas Lab for Food Systems Transformation, which was hosted by Public Health Association of BC, funded through the Ministry of Social Development and Poverty Reduction and food banks. And there was a group of us from the north, even looking at food systems change and different actions and different ways of provoking that change. And Christine and I were together in one of the communications, subgroups. And with her experience of podcasting and our also relationship with CICK, as we were talking about, I think there's this piece around changes, yes, actions and the actions that get taken. But also, I think one of my beliefs is that change also, we need to inform how are we and what actions are we taking, is that paradigm and also the culture. And so I know I'm an avid podcast listener. This is my first foray into being part of creating one. What are the questions we're asking? How are we helping people be more curious around equity and even highlighting what's being done or what they might be needing to think of, so that we're kind of, I guess, agitating and creating that tempest in a stock pot at a cultural conversational level that will, to me, my belief is that it informs then the actions people take. And so that's how kind of the idea of the podcast came about. And we previously worked a bit together through a couple other food programs. So that was where the idea initiated and the support that then we were given to do this project through 2025 in terms of all the conversations. And also a lot of the people that we interviewed and talked to and learned from came through that kind of community initiative, the lab itself.
I would also like to add that there are attitudes that people carry. I think a lot of them are unconscious, based on things like the capitalist model, which does us no favors at all, and basically makes us feel more impersonal towards each other because we're in competition. And I think it makes it hard to encourage equity in each other's lives, because if we're in competition, then one of us has to be there has to be a hierarchy of some sort. So we're trying to encourage our listeners to check in on each other and to be more generous with what they have, to shop local, because Amazon certainly doesn't need your money, but local farmers and businesses do. And to just be more aware that the competition model is not a helpful model, but that if we can go back to being more community-minded, which I think people in our direct area in the Bulkley Valley and in the north of BC generally are a lot more generous and a lot more mindful of each other. But it's good. I think it's really important that we be actively aware of it and try and encourage that in ourselves more. So that's really the agitation that I'm trying to provoke, is to get people to think about what they're doing and how they've been unconsciously trained to do other things.
Right. So this is a series of interviews with different people active in food and in their line of work. So that could be food growers, producers. Can you give me an example of maybe one of the programs that you've produced? What we would expect to hear?
I'm just looking now. I mean, they're quite varied, which I think is also to me exciting. So you talked about food producers. We were able to actually go out and visit both Whitsett as well as Sikadak and hear from Angeline Swain. So one of the really lovely, especially for this time of year episodes, is the best kind of gateway drug with Jolene Swain, which I believe is coming up here shortly as well in the coming weeks. In that we're actually walking through her spring fields with her, talking about the seeds, the different varieties, the importance of saving seed, of growing back and bringing back diversity in our seed stock, and how that's such a beginning place for our food, but also for our journey with each other and the connections through there. And it does then get into some of the challenges around that in the farming. So I think most of our episodes have a bit of delight in there, a bit of real that personal connection, whether it's someone who's a policy analyst, they've got a personal connection that led them to want to do this work. And so that passion that drives all of everybody we talk to, but also a bit of those hard questions that, like Christine said, that maybe we're just not facing, or we haven't had to think about. I'm from the prairies, so I understand beef because that's what I raised, but never had the knowledge about how some of the policies get in the way of, like, people in Prince Rupert being able to eat fish from Prince Rupert. So while that's even probably one of the more harder episodes to listen to, it's also a really important one for us to the unconscious biases that Christine said around even what do I assume I'm able to access as an eater, or even how I'm looking at other people and perhaps judging them. Even when I think I'm being charitable, sometimes our charitable actions create that power and privilege rather than remove it. So I maybe didn't quite answer your question about one episode, because I kind of love them all, and they're all very diverse, and they build on each other and connect, just like a good soup in a stock pot.
That's a really good analogy. And we were discovering as we did the interviews, each week we would come back and talk about what we had just heard and what we learned ourselves, because this was also intended as an exercise in self-examination. And one of us would say, oh, we haven't talked to any of the fishermen in the area, or, oh my goodness, we don't know anything about how children as eaters are involved in the whole process. And there were always moments where it's, oh no, we have to go and speak to this person. And so that's why it took a little bit longer than we expected to develop it, because we just felt like we needed to keep touching all these corners and smooth out the borders and try and figure out the overall picture, rather than just pick one or two things and we'd be missing a lot. It was so much fun to scan the entire room and see what was there. It was great.
It sounds amazing. It sounds like you've been all over the region, everywhere from the Bulkley Valley. You went all the way to the coast, did you, as well as Prince Rupert and area?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's going to be amazing. It's 12 episodes. How many episodes have you done? 12. And do you expect you're going to be doing more? Because it sounds like something that you could just go on forever.
Well, we certainly could do more. There's always more to be examined. but there isn't funding for that. I mean, if we could find funding, I would love to be able to do more of this, but that's really always, you know, that's one of the messages that we have too, is that we limit each other on funding. There's lots of money in pockets. You just have to know which pocket to ask for. And that's the trouble with nonprofits. You're spending an awful lot of your energy trying to get funded.
There's been other food programs that I'm aware of in the past. Is this a model off of something else that maybe you've done or heard before? Like I this reminds me a little bit of Deconstructing Dinner. Have you listened to that podcast that was done through Kootenai Co-op in 2006, went for about 4 years?
Yeah. I think there's some similar. I think I pretty much always seem to have a podcast going when I'm alone. So you're inspired by lots of different ones. I think the unique piece is we don't only talk to people here in the North, because some of, especially the policy people and the academics, have connections to the North, but may have actually been sitting in another part of Canada. But we really tried to contextualize it to our region and our experiences, because there's so much to celebrate. And we often, I think, get overlooked, even when it's a provincial context. People think here north and they think of Prince George, and that's as far as they think. And so we really wanted to celebrate and localize it here. So I think that's probably the unique piece. And that it weaves between, there's one podcast, and we've linked to it in the episode notes a couple times, that's called, it's actually from the Canadian Food Studies at University of Waterloo. So they call it Digesting Food Studies. So they do a lot of the more the policy pieces, but they don't necessarily have the highlighting like we did it, with the contextualization back to the Northwest, to the Pacific, and that kind of piece. And then I think there's some podcasts I listen to that are really about the food and the growing. So I think we weave a lot together, which is also quite nice.
I think a lot of the messages that we offer can apply to anywhere in Canada or even farther afield. We're just giving you the examples that we're seeing. And in my estimation, the biggest reason that we brought in policymakers from Toronto and Vancouver and, you know, further afield, was that we needed to have some credibility to what we were saying, because, you know, what we think we see doesn't necessarily translate into facts and data. So we needed to have somebody else back us up. And that means that it becomes more of a national message.
Yeah. There's a lot of commonalities with food and food production across the planet, you know, not just the region. So it makes a lot of sense. Well, that's one of the many reasons why I think people should listen to it, because I like the idea of people, no matter where they are sitting, listening to it and learning and wanting to maybe research a little more, dive a little deeper into their own local food systems. Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate the work you guys put into this. It's going to be a great listen. I think we're episode 4 or 5 or something like that, I think we're into now. And there's going to be a great series still coming up here with all the different the podcasts that people haven't already heard, episodes, I should say. Can you tell us when we should listen to it on CICK?
Brenda?
If you can't do it, I can do it. It's Wednesday at 2 p.m.
Oh, when? Sorry, I heard what? Which one? So I was back to looking
at
the episode.
No, Wednesday at 2 p.m.
No, all of them. We want you to listen to all of them.
You already told me. These are like your children. You can't pick anyone. I get it. But right. Yes, on Wednesdays at 2 p.m., you can listen to it. The podcast, each episode runs for about an hour. Is that about right?
It's like 30 minutes to about 50, yeah. 55 minutes each, yeah. Anywhere in there. Depending on the topic.
Okay. And I think we've also stuck it up on some podcast dissemination tools. I think did we put it on Spotify or Google?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Spotify, YouTube as well,
yeah.
If people are having trouble finding the links. And we do have a landing page as well to try to capture it for people to link to the different episodes and get a feel of also the motivation behind it, which is storytellersociety.org/tempest.
Perfect. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, this is fantastic. Thanks for joining me on State of Address. Really appreciate the work that you put into this podcast. Looking forward to the rest of the episodes.
Thanks for the invitation, Glenn. That's very kind of you.
All right, that was Christine Bruce, Brenda Barrett, hosts, producers of Tempest in a Stockpot. Let's get into some music now, shall we? Some new music from the East Coast. Today we're introducing you to a band called Les Louanges, and it's a project of Vincent Roberge. He's a singer-songwriter and a producer with a raw talent that has kind of like a distinctive blend of sort of funk and soul and pop. And it's a really, I don't know, it's not often I get to hear French music. CSK does a really good job of that, bringing it over here. Otherwise, we'd never hear it. And this is actually a standout album. His last album was 2022, and since then took a bit of a 4-year break, and now come back out with this April 10th release called Alouette. It's a great third album. I think you're going to like this track that we selected for you. It is a off the album. It's called Correct. Thanks again for listening to State of Address, and thanks for listening to CICK.
S'accumule, tango sur le point de bascule, le fil est tendu. Ça brosse à gauche, ça brosse à droite. Les voisins bardassent en bas. Je m'entends plus penser, est-ce que c'est pareil pour toi? Pourquoi gueuler si on s'entend pas? Mais tu sais, y'a rien qui nous oblige. Si t'es correct, moi je suis correct aussi. Si t'es correct, moi je suis correct. 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 Merde, t'es correct. Merde, t'es correct. Si t'es correct, moi je suis 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 correct. Merde, t'es correct. Ça prend un drôle de virage, ça parle de faire le ménage. Ça dit parler en ton nom, tout sourire, tout en croisant les doigts sous la table. Les diables dans la sémantique se cachent dans les détails, dans les caractères de bas de page. Le gros bon sens, le dos large, quand au bout se cache une pièce. Quand c'est pour parler à ta place. Ça brosse à gauche, ça brosse à droite. Les voisins bardassent en bas. Je m'entends plus penser, est-ce que c'est pareil pour toi? Pourquoi gueuler si